could heaven sing? All creation praising, alleluia, Elohim. Come to reign forever, the kings and Lord of lords.
Lift your head.
Lift your head, O Zion.
Open now.
Open wide
the ancient doors. We cry.
Father and our God, we are so grateful that it has pleased you to honor our gathering with your manifest presence. We know it's not everywhere that this happens, or every time. We're grateful. We enter your word with an attitude of gratitude, of reverence and awe at this auspicious moment of your purposes upon the earth. And we pray that you will anoint me afresh, so that indeed I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, so that our wills indeed will become more humble, aligned with your will, our emotions more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, that this word will flow freely, our hearts will be enlightened with revelation knowledge, so we will have understanding and see the invisible. Father, I pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in great measure to follow and back these words wherever they're heard in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men, so that indeed they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I do it with precision, redeem the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, truly as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me and said,
Amen.
Today I have a prophetic landmark message. I believe this is a very, very special and auspicious moment in the purposes of God upon the earth. And I've entitled it, as a spin-off from some things that came up on Wednesday, Filled with All the Fullness of God. First of all, I would like to introduce this by letting us know that God wants us filled with all of His fullness. Those of us who have had what we would call the Pentecostal experience of being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, have sometimes mistakenly felt that that was everything. It was not. it was actually a beginning. God filled us with the power of His Spirit inside our spirits, and it's like when you fill a tumbler, if you fill a tumbler with water and it gets to the top and then it begins to overflow. So that power of the Holy Spirit overflowed and came out through one member of our body, our tongue. And from that time, we're able to speak in tongues as often as we want, as frequently as we want, so long as we keep our hearts fully charged with the life and the power of God. However, this experience, wonderful and great as it was only an earnest or down payment of what God intends to do and has purposed to do. It is for this reason the scriptures, and we'll be looking at this probably in more detail as I go on, reveal to us that there's something beyond this. So the great apostle in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, prays for people who have had the experience of tongues. The Ephesian church, ministered to by Paul in Acts chapter 19, had received the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. However, the apostle, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, prayed for them to have another experience beyond what they had had. And in this portion of scripture, Pastor Wig actually prayed for me today when he was praying for sisters Stella and Sister Shola. And it says, it starts in verse 16. This is actually a road map. Praise that God will grant us, or the Ephesians and us, this applies to every Christian, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So that, next verse, Christ, let's read together, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, you need to understand this. You already have Christ in you. You're born again. He's not writing to heathen. These people are already born again. But they had Christ in the Spirit. You see, the word heart is a composite term. Many times when you hear heart, spirit, soul, sometimes, depending on the context, it's a mixture. So when it says heart here, he's talking about the soul, because the soul and the spirit are inside, you know, they form the inner man. The soul is up here, where your brain is, you know, and your spirit is just all the other parts of your inner man. And so he was praying that the Christ character be formed, may dwell in the mind, the will, and the emotions, and is done by faith. That's what we just did earlier on today, where you begin to speak God's word. Say, I have love, joy, peace. And so what you're doing is you're releasing love, joy, and peace from your spirit into the mind, the will, and the emotions. The you being rooted, I didn't hear you, and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. That's a very powerful word. The word comprehend means to have a holistic understanding, a complete understanding, with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height. Next verse. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now this is the focal point, and this is the subject of what we're talking about this afternoon. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. It means they were not. If they were filled with the fullness, if the baptism of the Holy Spirit is filled with all the fullness of God, then what do you need this for? So it reveals to us that God wants us to have something beyond what we had in Pentecost, which is typified by the Feast of Tabernacles. The three main Jewish feasts typify the three major Christian experiences we have in Jesus Christ. The first Passover typifies our born-again experience. The scriptures tell us Christ is our Passover. The second experience typifies the Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost typifies this experience of praying, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, in a manner such that it comes out of our physical body through our tongue. So it is a physical manifestation. And God did that deliberately for two reasons. One, to ground us in faith so that we know, we don't think so, we know we have the Holy Spirit. Hence, the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of 1 John, now turn there, where it says, you know, hereby we know that the Spirit is in us. We don't think so, we know by that experience. And the Bible, this same Paul, calls it the earnest. The word earnest is an old English word that just means a deposit. It's a deposit of the power of the Holy Spirit, meaning that we haven't got the full thing yet. It's a deposit to do two things. One, to encourage us. And then two, it is that deposit that we will use, or should we say, it is the degree to which we use that deposit that will now determine if we get the rest of it. For if you are not faithful in that little deposit, who will give you the rest? But if you are faithful with that little deposit, then you will prove to God that you are serious, and then God can then trust you with all the fullness of God. I've been meditating on that. I'll get back to that in a minute. And then the last feast, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the one we're in. Incidentally, today, we're smack in the middle of the feast. I will talk about this, you know, a little bit more later on, you know. But, you know, we are right as I'm talking now, this October, what's today? 8th is actually the fourth day of the feast. The Feast of Tabernacles goes from the 15th day of the Jewish 7th month up to the 22nd day. So it's actually an 8-day feast. You know, 7 days, but they're actually 8. 15, because you have to count the 15, 16. They're actually 8 days. So today we're in smack in the middle of the feast. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go and tell my people that you have now come to the time and the season where the manifestation of this thing is imminent. Because God doesn't do things by accident. The Feast of Tabernacles, let me quickly finish that, just typifies the experience of the ingathering of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, or you can call it the perfection of the love of God, you know, which I spoke briefly about, you know, during the Bible study, you know, and then the subsequent and consequent release of the power of the Spirit without measure that in turn will trigger the harvest of the nations of the world. And that's why the Feast of Tabernacles is done at the end of the year, which typifies the end of the age, you know, in which the fruit of the Spirit is gathered in. This is when you gather in the fruit, you know, and then the Feast of Tabernacles is celebrated. So the church has experienced two feasts. We've experienced Passover. We have experienced Pentecost. We are about to start experiencing the fullness of Tabernacles. We haven't experienced it yet. So say, how do you know? Simple. I haven't seen anybody yet filled with the fullness of God. Very simple answer. You know, I've seen people filled with God, but not with all the fullness of God. I've seen people filled with the Holy Spirit. I've seen people speak in tongues. I've seen people cast out devils. You know, I've seen people, you know, lay hands on the sick and they recover. Amen. But I haven't seen anybody since the time of Christ filled with all the fullness of God. I'm going to expatiate on that in a minute. But we need to understand that God is wanting the church to know that there is an experience beyond Pentecost. I went to visit Ma Elton yesterday in Elisha. Ma Elton, for those who do not know, was the daughter of S.G. Elton, a great apostle and prophet that God sent to Nigeria in the 1930s from England You know, and I can't go into all the long story, but you know, he was sent actually by God to stabilize the Pentecostal move in Nigeria and give us direction. My elder told me this story, not yesterday, but she had told me this story before. She was a young girl, I can't remember. I think she was born in 1934. So at this time, this was 1948. So she was 14 years old, you know. So when she was 14, her dad and her mom took what they call furlough. Missionaries back in those days, and they still do, you know, if you've been on the mission field for say 5 years, you go for 1 year holiday just for refreshing and all of that before you go back to the mission field. So they went on this holiday from Nigeria. They were in Elisha, you know. She was 14 years old. She came to Nigeria as a baby. She was about 2-3 years old, something like that, you know. And and so when she was 14, she went with her parents to England on this missionary holiday, you know. And while they were in England, they went for different, you know, Pentecostal meetings and conferences. It happened to be a very, 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 very special time, because 1948 was when what is known as the Latter Rain movement started. There was a renewal of the move of God on the earth after World War II. Men like Kenneth Hagin and Gordon Lindsay, you know, and T.L. Osborne, practically these guys are dead now, you know, and most of the church doesn't know anything about them. When we got born again, these guys were still around, you know, and we read their books and all of that. It's a sad commentary that this generation, most of them know nothing. Except you come to a church like this and people like us tell you about them, you don't even know such people existed. And really, they are the fathers of this move that we're involved in now. Anyway, to cut a long story short, my Elton was in London, or it wasn't London, it was somewhere in England, I can't remember exactly where, you know, with her parents, and they went for this meeting, you know, and these guys came from Canada and the US, and they began to preach something that they had never heard before. Because Pa was a typical Pentecostal. All they knew was fill the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. So here come these guys who start teaching about an experience beyond Pentecost. And what I'm telling you now about the Feast of Tabernacles and the fullness of God. And they had never, my Elton told me, they had her dad, herself, her mom, they had never heard anything like that. Then they began to see a manifestation of the power of God that they hadn't seen. You know, and they saw people falling under the power. This was the real thing, not the corrupted thing that, you know, in 1948. You know, and there was this great move and revelation knowledge and all kinds of things. So, Pa came back to Nigeria fired up. And he started preaching those things. They kicked him out of his denomination. They said he was preaching heresy. Of course, he wasn't preaching heresy. He was preaching the pure word of God. And to call a long story short, you know, then he became an independent missionary. Because his missionary church in England, he came from the apostolic. They cut off his money. They cut off his resources. And said, you should stop preaching all this rubbish. What they called rubbish, but it wasn't rubbish. But Pa had received revelation from God. And he knew it was the right thing. So he stayed with what God gave him. And trusted God to look after him. Which is exactly what God did. So God now raised help from him. And he began to associate with some of these missionaries. Like T.L. Osborne. In particular, Gordon Lindsay. And these guys started sending money to him from America to support him. It was in all of that that he began to get Gordon Lindsay's books, you know, Kenneth Hagin's books, because all those guys were in a company called The Voice of Healings. And so that was how God used Pa Elton as a channel to bring in that kind of truth. Nobody had ever heard of anything like that in Nigeria. Even the Pentecostals that we had become corrupted. And so Pa Elton began, and then he focused on the universities and the young people and began to teach them, you know, of which I am a beneficiary and many others. I don't want to go into all that long story. But when I was with Mama Elton yesterday, she said this to me. You know, we were talking about some of these things and the end time. She said, yes, Alubi, you know, there is going to be a second outpouring of Joel. You see, what you saw on the Acts of the Apostles in Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with, there was an outpouring of the Spirit, was the first one, and that was for Pentecost. But there's going to be a second outpouring that's going to be for tabernacles. And that is going to, what is going to bring this filled with all the fullness of God. So I asked the Lord, I said, God, how do I explain the fullness of God to these people? How do I explain it in a simple way that people can understand? And he gave me a very simple illustration that we can use to understand it. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, we went through that in the morning, so I won't go through it again. You know, he was a young boy, you know, he was a baby, and then he was a young boy. He had the Holy Spirit, but didn't have the fullness of the Spirit when he was 12. He had the Holy Spirit. Of course he had the Holy Spirit. That was why he had so much wisdom and revelation that the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, they were all, you know, amazed at his understanding and his answers. But he wasn't filled with all the fullness of God at that time. He grew spiritually to the age of 30. At the age of 30, he went to John the Baptist, his cousin. They baptized him. The heavens opened. And the Bible says the Spirit of God, like a dove, came upon him. John, describing this experience, you know, John the Apostle, describing the experience that John the Baptist had. You know, John the Apostle wrote what John the Baptist said. And what John the Baptist said was this, that he had been given the Spirit without measure. John 3:34. That God does not give the Spirit to him by measure. Remember Elijah and Elisha, he wanted a double portion. It's still a measure. But there is a place in God where you can have the Spirit without measure. That's what is called being filled with all the fullness of God. Paul, trying to describe this to us in Colossians, the second chapter, I believe it's in verse 19. If I'm wrong, you can correct me. See if you can get that verse. He says, you know, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's Colossians. I think it's Colossians 1 something. Find it. You know, it says, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, I said, Lord, how do I explain that? You know, because this experience is about to be made manifest in the church. Not everybody's going to get it at the same time. There'll be the pioneers. And when they get it, it's going to be so wonderful and yet so controversial. Some people even call it the devil. Can you believe that? Well, they call Pentecost the devil. So, and then they even call Jesus the devil. So, we're in good company. Praise the Lord. 2:9, not 19. Thank you. For in him, I didn't hear you, dwelleth some. All the fullness of the Godhead, what? Bodily. Three keywords there. The one is all. The second is fullness. And the third is bodily. Let me say bodily. Your body. Praise the Lord. Your physical body. Now, the way the Lord explained it to me, I will explain it to you. And I trust the Holy Spirit will help you to understand it. He said, now watch this. Jesus was a man. I know he was God. But he was operating as a man on earth. He wasn't operating as God. When he was here as a baby in Bethlehem, as a young boy in Nazareth, he wasn't God. I mean, he was God, but he wasn't omnipotent. He wasn't omniscient. He was not omnipotent. He was not omnipresent. He had the same limitations that you and I, you know. But when he got this experience, when this Spirit came upon him, watch this. He had access to all the fullness of the Godhead through his physical body. Mm. God gave him, and I'm going to go a step further that will, you know, tantalize you. Praise the Lord. God gave him not only access but permanent access to all the fullness. So he had access to the fullness of God's wisdom. He had access to the fullness of God's power. He had access to the fullness of God's character. All the fullness of the Godhead was he had access to tap into it and manifest it through his physical body. And that's what you and I have been privileged to also partake of. That's what Paul was praying about, that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. Same thing. Just like the Lord Jesus. Then I said, Lord, you know, then he gave me this thought. You know, when, this is heavy. When Solomon built the temple, and he dedicated it, incidentally, on the Feast of Tabernacles. That's another message for another day. You know, he dedicated it and gave it to God. And said, oh, God should come and live inside the temple. You know, because his dad David said, oh, I dwell in a house of cedars. And the presence, the ark of God is under tents. I will build a house. And God was impressed with what he did. And they built this physical house, beautiful, with gold and all kinds of decorations and all of that. You know, and God was happy about that, you know. And when he dedicated it, the glory of God filled the temple. When the priests began to blow trumpets and all of that, you know. But when, so after all of that, Solomon now prayed. As he prayed, the Holy Spirit began to show him something. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. And I want to show you the same thing. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. Now, this is, Solomon now thought deeply. You and I need to think deeply. He said, he understood that God just honored them by allowing a portion of his presence to fill the temple and filled it with his glory of God, and the priests could not something. But then Solomon understood something, and I want you to understand this. He said, will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens. Don't your neighbor say there's more than one type of heaven. He said the heaven, then the heaven of heavens. There's a first heaven, there's a second heaven, there's a third heaven. Cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? Can we begin to fathom what the fullness of God is? Look at this. Let me use Jesus first, and I'll use myself as a second example. You know, imagine Jesus when he was around. He was probably, you know, he's appeared to Kenneth Hagin and quite a few people. He wasn't even up to 6 feet. According to Kenneth Hagin, he's about 5'10", 5'11", something like that. You know, when he was, you know, in his physical body. So imagine someone like, you know, like me now. You know, 5'10", 5'11". How can this body contain the fullness of the universe? When even the heavens of heavens, yet, this God is wonderful, oh, yet, God says, you will be filled with all the fullness of God. And God said, to understand it, just look at Jesus. He said, what I meant and still mean by that is this. He had access to all that power in the universe. Whenever it was needed, it would come from by his spirit, through the mind, into the body, out into the air, to get whatever needed to be get God done. So that is why you see him doing things that ordinarily are impossible. You see him say, peace be still. And the oceans and the wind, everything else. Why? The power of the fullness just came through. That thing has no choice. There is no competition.
The power is too much. Are you listening to me? The Lord said I should ask you a few leading questions. I have asked, and I do ask these questions everywhere, not every Wednesday, but sometimes I ask it when I teach on in School of Perfection. And the answer, the question is simply this: when last did you see anybody feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes? Or 5, whichever way it was. Nobody answered me. I'm asking, I say, when last? You have never seen that. In all the books you have read about the Pentecostal revival, about the miracles, even in the Acts of the Apostle, did you see anybody feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes? Have you ever seen that before? Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever seen anybody do that kind of miracle? Let's move a little bit further. When last did you see anybody walk on water? Of all the miracles you have read about, and you've heard about the blind seeing, you've heard about the lame walking, I know you've heard all that, but have you ever seen anybody walk on water? Let me ask another one. You know, when last did you see a person with a withered hand? The hand is withered. You've seen these beggars on the road sometimes. Some they're born with all kinds of, you know, the hand is there, but it's maybe like half like this. When last did you see somebody say, stand here, stretch that hand, and the hand grows in front of everybody instantly? When last did you see that? Aha. That is what being filled with all the fullness of God will produce. Give the Lord a clap offering. It is only that's why we haven't seen it. It's only if you are filled with all, not just fullness. So when Jesus would tell them, bring the fish and something to him, he connected. Do you understand? I say he had permanent access. Are you listening to me? Permanent access. So he hooked up with the power of the universe, beyond the stars, beyond the planets, beyond the galaxies. Glory be to God. The heavens of the heavens cannot contain it. And then he tapped into it. He came via his spirit, through his mind, through his mouth, as he blessed something, and food began to multiply. The creative power of the universe, of the fullness of Godhead, came through him, and he kept walking until all the people were filled, and then he stopped. Permanent access. How many people would like that? This is what we're talking about. This was filled with all the fullness of God. And to show that it was not a fluke, he did it a second time. He did it with the 5,000, he did it with the 7,000, with the 4,000. Hello? He would walk on water. He didn't do that every day. It's just to show you that if it's necessary, I have access to this. Hello? He would tell the man with the withered hand, he says, stand here. Stretch forth your hand. In front of everybody. I've seen people pray for people, you know, people like Derek Prince and others, where maybe your leg, one leg is a little bit shorter than the other, and they pray and it grows. Thank God. I don't despise those miracles. Thank God for them. But you know, 1 or 2 inches, that's all right. But when anything goes 3 feet, right in front of you. Everything correct. All the 5, everything correct. You see creative power in physical manifestation. You know what is called? Glory.
Amen.
That is what is meant by being filled with all the fullness of God. And God now says, I'm praying that you get it. Anything prayed by the Holy Spirit is the will of God.
Amen.
It means that it is God's purpose for a company of Christians, in fact for every Christian. It's just sad that some people won't pay the price, but for every Christian to have the same access. Hence the scripture. This is one of the scriptures that really inspire me and encourage me. Especially when I look around and it looks as if, would this thing ever happen? Two things that always comfort me. I've got the earnest. So I'm sure the rest is coming. Hallelujah. The second thing is what the scripture says is that you might grow up into him in all things. God didn't leave anything out. It's the same Paul, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. So the other day, Pastor Wally was teaching us, and he said he didn't know how will it feel. Then I asked the Lord the same question when I went home. You know, I was meditating on the message. And he said, do you remember what happened when you were filled with the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes, Lord, I do. I remember that evening. I remember exactly what happened. I went to church. They prayed for me. I didn't speak in tongues. I was a little bit discouraged and something. But I had heard some good teaching that, look, you do it by faith. You just accept. So I said, okay, I'm filled by faith, even though I didn't speak. So when I got by my bed, I can never forget it. I was in the hall, it's still there, University of in London, is a postgraduate hall. It's in a place called Talbot Square, just behind Paddington Tube Station. It's still there. You know, I got by my bed and I knelt down like this. And I began to thank God. You know, by faith, I just said, thank you for today, thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit, even though I don't speak in tongues and all of that. As I began to pray in faith and thank God, something started. The only way I can describe it is bubble. Boom. It started bubbling. And then my mouth, this thing, you know, but it sounded stupid. Sounds, you know, repetitive and all. Then the devil now told me that, you know how the devil, you know how he speaks, Allah Kori, oh Antore, oh Ringo Kowajo, oh Matore, you know, and he was telling me in Yoruba, you know, the devil, he knows your number. How many knows the devil speaks Yoruba? Shora, come along, bow, we're a messy. I'm telling you, although you can, all kinds of thoughts were coming. Then I remembered what they had preached, that you won't understand it. And just let it flow. So I just, the thing of, I was drunk. I've been drunk in the natural. You know, I was like this. The thing was called, I was so happy as I got it, man. So I this is my experience. I got up from where I was. You know, I got out of my room. Then, you know, we had a phone booth. We didn't have mobile phone in those days. This is 1979. This is November 11, 1979. It's a date I can never forget. You know, I stumbled out because I was drunk in the Holy Ghost. And the thing was coming. So I just stumbled to the phone booth. I took a tempi. You know, in those days we used to have to pay. So you put it inside the phone. Then I called my friend. I said, I got the baptism. Anna. Do you know that night it was like being in heaven? The presence of God. The thing just, as I opened my mouth, I said, hey, so can you hear it? Praise the Lord. Ha! The next day, the presence of God, you know, it was like somebody put a cloak. It's like somebody wearing a coat for me from the outside. I felt it. You couldn't see it, it was invisible, but I felt the cloak upon me. And the tongues just come out. It still sounded stupid, though, but I didn't care. Because I knew I got the real thing. I had a roommate who was half Indian, half Jewish. He was a medical student. And he used to come and go because they used to have all these rotations, you know. He'll go and do pediatrics, go and do that. In some two days, he won't be at the hostel. He'll come, you know. So, the guy looked at me. So the next day,
We're going down for breakfast, the cafeteria downstairs. He said, what were you doing last night? I said, I was praying. I said, stop that nonsense. He said, do you know what you were saying? I said, no. I said, but I was praying. He said, you're speaking Aramaic. He said, where did you learn that from? I was as surprised as he did, but I acted cool. Yeah, speaking Aramaic. I said, He said, you're talking about Jesus, angels? He said, where did you learn all that from? I said, I was praying. It's God who was speaking through me. The guy went as white as... He kept a safe distance. He knew I was a nice guy. You know, we were friendly and all of that. But from that day, I witness and speak to him. He would just say, ah, thanks. Going back to what we're saying, how will it feel? Then the Lord reminded me of this experience and said, the only difference between this and that one, see, that one, when it came, it came out through one member, the tongue. He said, this one, when it comes now, is going to bubble again. But it won't be through the tongue alone. It will bubble through your brain. It will bubble through your eyes. It will bubble through your hand. It will bubble through your feet. It will bubble the full spirit, soul, and body. I pray that you sanctify, that you might be sanctified, that your whole spirit and soul and body, the power of God that had been manifested only through one member, will now be manifested through all members all the time. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. It was manifested through one member, and the member it was manifested is the most important one. For the tongue is a fire. Hallelujah. But instead of being the fire of the devil, it now becomes the fire of the Holy Ghost. For you are baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
He's not being manifested only through the, you see, the tongue controls the whole body. So God in his wisdom, first of all, gave you the earnest in the tongues, so that you can now use the tongues to get it in the whole body. Your brain will be full of power. Your hand will be full of power. Your legs will be full of power. Every member of your body. So when you just touch somebody like this, hallelujah, power will just flow. They will touch your cloth, they will get healed. They will even touch your car. They don't even have to get close to you. You know, because once you sit inside that car, since it's in the whole body, it will flow to the seat. From the seat, it will flow to the panel door. So anybody who touches that door in faith, he will connect.
Amen.
There will be so much power, there will be a force field of life that will be around you. Within a particular radius, anybody who comes there will get blessed. Without you talking, you go to ShopRite and you are walking down the aisle and you are picking things, minding your business gently. You're not praying for anybody, and all the people on all the other aisles will start getting healed simply because you are there. It's called filled with all the fullness of God. That's what is immediately ahead of us in the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. God wants us, and we're going to see it. It will be exactly like the Lord Jesus. Exactly. And then it will go beyond that. You know, Jesus didn't stop there. He said, the works that I do, you will do, and greater works. You know, Jesus had all of these things. He just manifested just a little bit of it so that we can do the rest. It affects your brain. Now a brain that has not been working well. I can't remember this. I can't. Instant photographic memory. Language learning ability. You look at something like this and you can draw it. Hallelujah. Mathematical ability. Hallelujah. Musical ability. You listen to a piece of music, you play it flawlessly. because the brain is now working at optimal capacity. The power of God has now gone inside the brain. So everything that was dead, that was not working properly, all those neurons, billions of neurons and synapses and dendrites, everything will start firing. Completely limitless. Hallelujah. Amen. 90-year-old women will start looking like 30-year-old girls. Mama Afi is laughing. And Auntie Dukwe is 87. You know, Auntie Dukwe is already looking fine. She's already looking, you know. But you can imagine now God reversing the thing to, she started looking as if she was looking when she was 30 years old. And why not? It's the life of God made manifest in the bottle of blood. Now, hear the word of the Lord. I shared this a little bit on Wednesday, but I'm going to share it again now. Just like Abraham and Sarah received the life of God into their physical bodies to give them strength to give birth to Isaac naturally, the life of God will be made manifest in your own mortal flesh to manifest the fullness of the Son of God. Hence he says, look to Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence you were hewn. They type for the end time. That's why God did it in their old age, to let us know that what he's going to do in the end time. He gave them strength to conceive. In the old age, Abraham's body was as good as dead. Sarah's womb was dead. Your physical body is dead spiritually. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall give life to your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Your own will be superior to Abraham and Sarah, because they were not born again. Hallelujah! You are born again. You won't give birth to Isaac. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. Woo! They will see the Son of God in you. He will say in fullness. He will speak through your mouth. He will see through your eyes. He will touch through your hands. Hallelujah. This is not pie in the sky. These are not cunningly devised fables. This is reality. This is what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. Filled with all the fullness of God. I must not close without touching on what I touched on Wednesday. Why now? I have an iPhone and I subscribe to something. It's called Apple News. So anytime there's most recent news, you know, I get an alert on my phone. I'll just see the text. You know, if Donald Trump tweets something, I'll see it immediately. If the guy in Korea does his own, I'll see it immediately, and so on and so forth. Yesterday, I got one. A strange one. I don't know where it was from. Either CNN, I can't remember, you know, or Washington Post, I can't remember. It says, how much more can we endure? That was the text. He said, how much more can the earth take? The fear of nuclear conflict between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un. Hurricanes. Earthquakes. All kinds of, you know, calamities. He said, we have not recovered from one before the second one happens. One has just hit again the U.S. this afternoon, this morning, or yesterday night. It's all signs of the end. Did Jesus not say that there will be wars and rumors of wars? Two things. There's rumor and then there's the real war. And Donald has said, He told the Secretary of State, he said, you're wasting your time. He said, you're wasting your time. He said, there's only one language this guy understands. He said, this is the calm before the storm. He just said it yesterday, day before yesterday. Even his generals, everybody is, what is this man going to do? Incidentally, you may not know this, but he has the nuclear codes with him. Now, there's a limit to what he can do, but he can do some things. He can't do everything, but there's some things he can do, and he doesn't have to take anybody's permission to do it. All he has to say is that I, as president, feel that the security of America is being threatened, and I want to move. End of story. And later on, they can debate in Congress, but what would have gone out would have gone out. Reagan did. Thank you. It's keeping people awake at night. Are you listening to me? The earthquakes. There was one in Mexico, you know, somewhere in Central America just a few days ago. Another something hit. So many people. So everybody's, the whole creation. Watch this. The whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain. Jesus said these are the beginning of sorrows. It's like the beginning of the labor of a woman that wants to give birth. It has now, the frequency and the intensity have escalated ever since the blood moons. Because the blood moons were a sign. That's Genesis chapter 1 verse 14. He says, God has given the sun and the stars as for signs and times. Give that scripture to me. Yes. God said, just keep it like this. In the firmament of heaven to divide light, let them be, everybody say, for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. Bimbo, give this to me, one of the more modern translations, you know, like the NIV or one of the ones that, you know, talks about, you know. Let them as signs to mark seasons, days, and years. I went to do a research, you know, and I went to find out the Hebrew word that is used here. No, don't, the message isn't too good here, you know. Look at one of the other, there's another one that you give me, you know. We talked about signs and seasons and all of that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that, you see, that word signs there, and times, you know, is not only, now let's do an analysis here. You see, there is the sun and the moon that tell us 24 hours a day, amen? And they tell us, you know, spring, autumn, winter and summer. Okay, that one is there, but that's not all he said. Check it. Are you following me? Exactly. They will serve as signs for what? Festivals. He's talking about Pentecost, tabernacles, and Passover. They will sign as signs for this was before God has ever given them the festivals. God had programmed the thing into the heavens. You know, he give them signs. So I went to now check the word sign, you know, and times. It means the appointed time. It's exactly the same Hebrew word. It says the vision is for an appointed time. Exactly the same Hebrew word. Hallelujah. So in other words, when the appointed time comes, the sign will be in the heaven. And that's what happened. And that's what has been. So the frequency and the intensity of the... Nobody thought Donald Trump would win when he won more travail. Nobody thought Brexit would pass when it passed more travail. The things on the earth, he says, men's hearts are failing them for fear of what is coming on the earth. So the frequency and the intensity of the problems on the earth are giving great concern to people. So all creation is groaning and travailing in pain. And God's saying to them, chill. I got an answer. I would take your travail and I would take your pain. Because I am touched with the feeling of your infirmities. How many people know that Jesus is the Savior of all men, including sinners? He didn't die for only you. He died for the sinner too. So he feels the pain of the sinner. How many people know that? So he says, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I will pick you're groaning and travailing, you know. He said, it's not your fault. I'm paraphrasing Romans 8. You know, you've been subjected to this thing, you know, to the devil and all these things that he's doing. But I have a hope. And I have an answer. So this thing you are feeling, I will transmit it to my church that are inside the earth. Then they will pray the answer out.
Likewise, the Spirit helpeth.
So, creation is groaning. We are groaning. God is groaning through us to groan out the answer. What is that answer? That we might be conformed to the image of Jesus. When the manifested sons of God appear, they will deliver creation from the bondage of creation into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. I just meditated that. What does glorious liberty mean? You know, we just say things, we don't think about it. It means a liberation that comes by the glory manifested. The glory of God manifested will bring liberation. It will deliver creation. And you see it in Jesus. In those 3 years when he was around, there were things that were happening, but in his sphere of influence, when you bring anything like a storm and they say, peace be still, creation was delivered. When blind men came around him, can we see? Their eyes opened. Creation is delivered. When the man with the withered hand, which happened because of some mess up of the DNA of his parents, or some kind of catastrophic accident, not even physical accident, he could have been from birth. So something that went wrong because of the DNA and all of that, Jesus says, stretch it out. Creation delivered. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's our job. And we do it through groaning. We feel what they are feeling, and God transmits it to us in prayer. And then we pray the answer out. And the answer, the ultimate answer, is that the life of God be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Then we can go about delivering creation. In our sphere of influence, we'll go about delivering. Who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Is it clear? Is it clear? So that's the reason why now the cry of creation has reached a crescendo. Psalm 102. I want to believe this way I went. I'm just flowing in the Spirit. Psalm 102. Let's start from verse 13. Koselemengrado Fredes. And thou, no, 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time. And then he don't stop there. Yea, the set time. How do we know? The heavens. The same Hebrew word translated time. Yeah, the one in Genesis 1:14. Lord, I've gone check it. The same Hebrew word, translated time here, is the one that says that they are given for signs and times. Same word. So how do we know the time has come? By the sign in the heavens. Hallelujah. But we ain't through yet. Let's move to verse 14. I won't read everything because of time. You know, 15. Hallelujah. The one I want to read. So the heathen shall fear thy name and all the. In other words, there's going to be a glory that's going to be manifested, that's going to attract another message. Let me just throw it out. You know, when Jesus was born, there was a sign in the heavens. The wise men saw his star, then they followed it. But when they got to Jerusalem, they didn't see the baby. So they began to ask. They asked Herod. Herod didn't know. And they asked all the wise men. The wise men who knew the scriptures, who knew the prophetic scriptures, it's important to know the scripture, said, Bethlehem, in Bethlehem, that's where it is prophesied that he's going to be born. So they followed the star. Watch this. They get to Bethlehem. They tell them. They come out of the palace. I want to start going to Bethlehem. The same star appears. And they follow it. The star now stays over the place where the baby was. What does a star imply? Light. You can then understand the scripture that the glory of the Lord will be seen upon thee, and then kings, wise men, will come to the brightness of thy light. And we're in that time frame, away from the sign in the heavens of the four blood moons. It's just over 2-3 years. So as the thing is shining, so as this light comes up, it's going to attract wise men from the east. Kings shall come to the brightness of the horizon. That's why it's now. The time, that we don't know the day, exact day or hour, but the time is now. The frequency of the Burke banks has reached a crescendo. We've broken water. You can't stay at home anymore. You have to rush the woman to the hospital. And she's going to give birth to the Son of God. Hallelujah. And manifest the glory of God. That is why it is now. This is why it is now. With what is going on the earth now, if a manifestation of sons of God does not occur soon, some crazy guy will blow up the planet. There are so many problems. I've explained some of this before. You know, the immorality, the homosexuality, the passing of same marriage sex laws, and all of these things. All these things are sins. We could see it in Leviticus. He said, when you do this, even the land will vomit you. What's causing the earthquakes? What's causing all of these crazy things? Sin. And if they continue, they will blow up the planet. But God will not allow it. Back to Psalm 102. I ain't done yet. Am I talking to anybody here? And all the kings, this is where we took the light from. All the kings that glory. Let's move on. Verse 16. And when the Lord shall build up Zion, that's what he's doing now with the word and the spirit. You know, Bible says, I've given my word, to build you up and give you an inheritance. Pray in tongues, building up yourself. So the word and the spirit is building up Zion. When it gets to a particular point, the glory will come. Push. He shall appear in his glory. Next verse. 17. He will regard the prayer of destitute. He will not despise their prayer. 18. This shall be written to the generation to come. This is 42nd generation. That's us. This is another message for another day. And all the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. You know, there are people who are to be, shall be created, shall be created, shall be created, shall be created, shall be created. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's going to bring your sons from the east, from the west, from the north, and they're going to bring them, and they're going to get born again, and they shall be created. And he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, and from heaven did the Lord behold the earth. Verse 20. Watch this. To hear the that are growing again. The whole of creation is growing. Prisoner to what? Prisoner to sin. The bondage of corruption. They're groaning. Sinners are groaning every day under the terrible hand of a spiritual Pharaoh called Lucifer. To hear the groaning of the prisoner and them that are appointed to death. If this Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump, if they cry, so many people will be appointed to death, but God will deliver them. Amen. To the Son of God that's going to be manifested through his church. That's why. That's why it has to be now. We don't know the exact day or hour, but we certainly know we're in the time and in the season. The signs in the heavens confirm it. The signs on the earth confirm it. And what God is wanting from you and I now is to play our part. Prayer. Intercession. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit does. And as he prays through us, he will cause us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. When the Son of God is manifest through us, then we will destroy the works of the devil and deliver creation. Let us pray. Stand to your feet. Filled with all the fullness of God. Filled. You got the Holy Ghost. You're filled with the Spirit to some degree. But it's only through one member. You need it through the other members. I think all of us need it through our brain.
Yes, sir.
I don't want it only through my tongue. No. I want it in my brain. I want it in my legs. I want it in my hands. So when I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. You can heal me if you will. I will. Because I'm filled with all the fullness of God.
I will.
Because I'm filled with all the fullness of God. Jesus says he will just lay hands on him. He says, I like the scripture, it says, and the leprosy left him. So leprosy has an ear. You know what it saw? The fullness of the Godhead coming through. You can understand now why the Bible says he resists the devil and he will flee. Can he stand against the fullness of God? He will pick race straight. The fullness, because you have access to it. So can you imagine the volume of power that's going to come through? No devil would dare stand in front of you. The minute they saw Jesus, they said, oh, Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to torment us? Can you imagine demons shouting when they see you? Oh boy, God, have you come to torment us? Oh Larry, have you come to torment us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because they will see the fullness of God coming through you. Talk to God. What are we going to do about these things? Is it just talk? And God has told us how we're going to do it. That Ephesians tells us, strengthen with might, get Christ in, become rooted and grounded in love, comprehend with all saints, then you are qualified. If you're not rooted and grounded in love, and you don't understand the love of God which passes knowledge, you will not be qualified. People who are not rooted and grounded are not going to get the fullness of God. So you pray yourself into that, to be rooted and grounded in love. Then you open the portal for the fullness of God to be released and made manifest through you. Talk to God. Creation is groaning and waiting. It's waiting for us. People are dying every day. The faster we hasten this thing and it comes, the less number of people are going to die. Because we're going to bind princes at our pleasure. And we're going to be able to teach senators wisdom. And all this nonsense that's going on will stop. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Move amongst us with holy fire.
As we lay aside,
we lay aside all earthly desires.
Hands reach out! Hallelujah!
Reach out and our hearts aspire. Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah!
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
First verse again. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Your heart is reaching out.
Holy Spirit.
You have the Holy Spirit, but now you want to be filled with all the fullness of it.
We welcome you.
Sing with meaning. Sing with faith. Sing with understanding. Hallelujah.
Reach out
and
our hearts aspire.
welcome you.
We welcome you.
Please accomplish in us today. It's a great prayer. Pray it over your mouth. Us today. Some new work. Hallelujah.
New work of love and grace. We pray.
Accomplish in me. Don't say today, say this day. We are in the third day. It's a prayer from your heart. This day, some new work.
Some new work of love and grace.
I pray. All reserved there, mean it.
Reserve that we have.
One hand on your forehead and raise the other hand. You see, the power of God has come through our tongue, but God wants it now to fill the rest of the body, the will, the mind, the emotions, the brain, the heart, the kidneys, the liver, every blood vessel. I was discussing with Dr. Williams and Pastor Larry last night about the DNA. It's only chemical bonds. It's simple chemical bonds. And what is a chemical bond? It is interaction of electrons. One electron goes into a particular energy level, and then it interacts with another one, another energy level, to create the sodium chloride or create whatever chemical bond. We are dealing with things that are very, very easy. A small thing can change it. And that's what the devil does. With your DNA, you know, in choosing spiritual power, he knocks one electron out of place. That bond gets out of place. That particular program is corrupted. So over time, years, the DNA, the errors compile up. That's why you grow old. That's why you get sick. They now understand, or beginning to understand, gene therapy. If I can tweak the genes, I will cure the disease. But I'm not going to wait for the scientists. I will tweak it myself by the Spirit. Raise that hand. Ask God to fill you with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Don't limit it to your tongue. Let it flow. Your head, your mind, your body, everywhere. And everything that is erroneous, it can all be reversed. That's why we're going to see men and women who are going to be like Abraham and Isaac in the end time. The rock from where we were hewn. Men and women, boy, that will be like Abraham and Isaac. It's not pie in the sky. It's already happened. Isaac was born at 99 and 90. And the Son of God will be born in you. Hallelujah. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come, and this season of the Feast of Tabernacles, the fulfillment of the fullness of God being made manifest in our spirit, soul, and body according to your word. Oh God, my heart aspires for this. This is the most important thing in my life. God, have mercy on me. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me to see what you are seeing. Help me to desire what you desire. Help me so that I will become strengthened with might by your Spirit in the inner man, that Christ will permanently dwell in my will, my mind, and my emotions by faith, that I will become rooted and grounded in love, able to understand and comprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and so come to know the love of God, which is greater than knowledge. I will love men whether they have knowledge or not. I will not allow knowledge to puff me up. I will love men the way you love men, so that I will be qualified to be filled with all the fullness of God. Let this fullness enter my physical body, even now as we pray, to bring healing, to correct errors in my DNA, in my immune system that are causing sicknesses in my body, so that I will be healed, strong, healthy, to carry this glory to the ends of the earth, in Jesus' name. Nekatalamatofrenes, Liprinitoskefrenes, Leramatoskefrenes, Zilikatofrenega, Loprinenzakataiko, Zephria, Zakitokru, Tolomatofrenes, Nungurdolomashoko, Tolomatofrenes, Zifridia, Lembradala Katoskefrenes, Loprenea Kakoklu, Tolomoshakarofre. Ninga dolomo tolomo stufre, luprika kloma tolomo zufridi zofre, luprika kloma tolomo shoko, lumbra kloma tolomo tufreshi, tolomo koko kloma tolomo koko, tolomo tufreshi, tolomo tufri dufreshi, zofri lumbra gatolo, lumbra kloma tolomo tolomo tufri dufreshi, tolomo korol no stufri dukro, neha tufre defra, lumbra des, tushke frenes, tolomaras, tolomanes, tufrenes. Nombre de les, Jiki Tufrenes, Tolomangaras, Toloma Tufres, Tolomas, Toloma Tufres, Toloma Tufres, Geoffrinias, Toloma Fredes, Noku Toloma Tufres, Zofridila, Tufredesca. In Jesus' name. We've already prayed for the healing, so I'm going to just go ahead and close the service. The things we have shared with you are mind-boggling. Go get the tape or the listen to it over and over until it sits. A convergence is already happening. The word convergence means a coming together of spiritual knowledge and natural knowledge. In quantum mechanics, once you get down to the subatomic, once you go below the macroscopic level and you get to electrons and protons and quarks, this is the word that is actually used by physicists. They are ghost particles, just like Holy Ghost. You know why? You can't put your finger on it. If you say an electron, you know, you have all these old images of electrons roaming around. There's no such thing as an red. It's an electron cloud. It spreads. Then there is a place where the probability is largest where you can find it. If you try and predict it at first, you will not get it. But once you put an instrument there and you try something, it zeroes into that thing. The action of man has an effect on the subatomic. It's pure physics. When you begin to talk and you begin to pray and you begin to something, you begin to have an effect on the subatomic. And then those things begin to obey what you say. The word quantum just means packet, and it means there are certain energy levels that those electrons occupy. It's not continuous. If you don't get that energy level, it will either get there or it will drop back. If you kick it from the spirit, it will occupy it and it will stay there. For the things which are seen are not subject to change. For the things which are unseen, they are subject to change. You can change it with your words. You can change it with your attitudes. You can change it with your prayers. And you can make the physical world obey what the word of God has said. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Stop playing games, Christians. We own the universe. We are the ones. God is not giving us the knowledge. There's a convergence now. Don't have to allow the devil just to come in. He's a created being. He can't even create. The only creation he can do is the one you gave him. The life and death are in the power of the tongue. You give it to him, then he has something to work with. You deny him, he's done for. Economy of words. That's why, careful what you say. So you only say what's in line with the word of God. You starve him of ammunition, and then you bombard him to kingdom come. Join hands with somebody. If I take off, you won't go from here. Remember, Peter preached until somebody slept. Or Paul. Don't let me get into that realm. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul and John, in Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Church, I say you become rooted and grounded in love so that you can be filled with all the fullness of God. God bless you. Have a great day.